time for Buff Talk here on 99.9 The Rock. A chance to hear from the coaches and athletes from Garden City High School. Let's go live to Old Chicago in Garden City and join the voice of the Buffaloes, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to Old Chicago here on September 18th. Cal Friedman here for KWKR 99.9 The Rock. Welcome back, Buff Talk. Here on this Monday night. Now, if you're looking to come to Old Chicago tonight, two games on the night. Carolina's just taking the lead against New Orleans in the first Monday night game. The Pittsburgh Steelers host the Cleveland Browns later on. If you want to come in for the games, we remind you at Old Chicago, tonight is game day. U.S. Classics pints are for $4 and talls are for $5. So, big week for Garden City High School. They open up WAC play in football ranks as they travel to Hayes this week. Tennis is out of town. Volleyball is out of town. So, full football show. We will have Coach Brian Hill on later today, along with defensive lineman Dio and David Holguin. And now we're going to start with the man who teaches those defensive linemen and defensive coach, Justin Reich, in his 11th season. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. So I wanted to bring you on because last week I had Evan Finch on, and I asked him to describe what you're like because I haven't really gotten to talk to you too much. The word he used was difference. Now I go to practice the next day, and what do I see? Fence is winning the day, but before these snaps, you got your defensive lineman doing the Rockettes dance pre-snap. But then during the play, they're completely dominating the offensive line. So how is it you kind of teach that way?
I don't know. I mean, I just try to keep it light with them. I think they learn a lot better when they're having fun, and that's kind of something that I've learned over the years. I used to be the guy that was kind of brash and abrasive and would yell and scream, and that as I've got older, that's kind of went out of me, and it's more like, let's teach the guys, and then when we're not locked in or thinking about something, let's have a little fun.
What were some of those lessons that kind of got you there from this brash nature to, you know, being this open guy?
So I guess it's kind of just having a relationship with the kids that have been through the program. I have tons of guys that I talk to probably on a daily basis that have been players of mine in the past, and these guys talk about how, oh, I was so mean or whatever when they were younger. And I'm like, well, that probably had an impact on them, probably had an impact on how they played as well. And as I've got older, I've just kind of learned that there's always two ways to kind of go about these things. And that kind of yelling and screaming went out the window. I mean, obviously in games, I can get that way a little bit every once in a while, but I try to just make sure they're understanding what I'm saying more than the tone I say it with.
Who are some of the guys that were kind of your favorite guys to teach while you started here, and then that have kind of gotten to your point where it's like, okay, like maybe I did take this kind of
I mean,
impact on him?
The one that always comes to mind is David Sandoval. He was a nose tackle and offensive lineman for us, and he still comes. Shoot, I think I saw him last week. He was in the school. He texts me all the time. And this guy, when he was a freshman, just couldn't get him to do anything right, and he's always the guy that would talk back or kind of make a remark back to you. And he was trying to be funny, and that wasn't me back then. And now me and him are really good friends. He was in my wedding, and I mean, he's a kid that now he's a really good friend of mine. And I look back at those kind of things. There's Zeke Herrera, a guy that I took from when he was in eighth grade all the way up through graduating, and he kind of went through that same era and same growth that I did.
How important are those player relationships to you?
Oh, it's the reason I do it. I mean, I love football and I love the game and I love doing what I do and putting the time in and having fun, but the kids are the most important thing, and they're so much fun to be around, and probably why they keep me young, I guess.
What was the thing that actually inspired you to coach?
I loved football growing up, and then kind of when I moved into Garden City, I saw an opportunity with the school district and took it and got on with Coach Hill and kind of just went from there. I mean, it wasn't like a lifelong goal or anything. Growing up, I grew up in Junction City under Randall Zimmerman. He coached me. A guy who had a tremendous impact on my life and kind of the guy I turned into. And I guess there was some motivating factors back then that kind of said, hey, let's do this. You could be pretty good at it.
You talked to me about how you've watched a lot of football throughout. You told me you're more into college than the NFL. So I'll ask you, what guys have you watched so far that you've been impressed with?
Georgia's defense is kind of one that I always like to pick apart a little bit. Alabama as well. I mean, Georgia and Alabama, they just do things at a much higher level than everybody else. I mean, they have the guys to do it. And it's just kind of interesting to see how they put those pieces in place and how they kind of mess with offenses and use it to their advantage.
They are phenomenal, aren't
yeah.
they? I mean, this
yeah.
last weekend against South Carolina, they didn't scrape, but a defensive line just saw his fits at any
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
I talked to Aaron Elam on our wrap-up show on Friday. He told me that you're an absolute film junkie.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? So you're not even going to deny it at all.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's I like the analytical part of defense. Like, I like de-engineering offenses and trying to figure out what they're doing to try to be successful, and then kind of take a page out of Belichick's book and, all right, you like to do this, well, we're going to make you do something else. And that's just kind of the game within the game that I really enjoy. I like seeing, okay, what do they do? What did they do well? And let's take it away from them any way we can.
Before I go too far into the rest of the questions I have for you, did you see the Patriots play last night on special teams?
I did not.
You didn't? Okay, I need to pull this up while I ask you this next question. When you're watching film, what are some of the big things that you're looking at?
I guess it depends on if I'm watching our film or if I'm watching an opponent's film. If I'm watching an opponent's film, it's formations. What are they trying to do with the formations that they're putting their players in? Who's moving around to different spots they're not normally in? Where are they trying to gain leverage? Because it's all a leverage game. If they're trying to put more numbers on one side of the field or the other, or get us to move some of our guys so that they can hit a spot where we're weak, something like that. When I'm watching our guys, I'm mainly looking technique, where we're getting holes, where we're not supposed to have holes, who's not in the right spot, basically what coverage we're in, if we're actually abiding by the coverage rules that we have in place, and those kind of things.
Is it difficult for sometimes your players to see the game analytically like you do?
Yeah. I mean, it's harder for me to break it down for them. Like, that's the hardest part of my job, is that I see things differently than them because I've done it for a long time. And it's been evident this year in our secondary a little bit that they don't understand sometimes what I'm telling them to do or what I'm trying to accomplish with a coverage or with a call. And it's just led me to kind of retrace my steps and kind of make sure that they understand it better than what they do. I mean, last year we were spoiled because we had Ryan Hyman, we had Caleb Wiese, we had these guys that were older that had been in the program for 4 years, and that you could basically call anything and they're just in it and they know what they're doing. And that's kind of been an adjustment for us this year.
Okay, I've just got the play pulled up from last night. We were talking about Belichick before this, so check this out. So it starts out like this. Things look pretty normal, right?
Yeah.
Watch this guy from the left side of your screen just come flying out of nowhere, come in and block it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how he thinks of this stuff.
Well, I don't know how he thinks of it, and I don't know how it worked. You would think that guy would step out and probably try to block him, but I guess not. They didn't think he was going to get there.
There it is one more time.
That's pretty creative.
I mean, he is phenomenal, yeah. Isn't he? So would you say you – that a lot of some where your coaching comes from watching those old Patriots defenses?
I mean, not necessarily, because they obviously have a lot of, I mean, the style of, okay, what do they do well? What do we need to take away from them? I mean, that just kind of the general philosophy, I guess. Yeah. But they can do so many more things than we can just because of guys are getting paid. They're there every single day for 12 hours doing it. And we get our guys for an hour and a half after school and that's it. So,
one thing that blew my mind, actually, was I was talking to you before this last game against West. You told me their offense was going to bring a very vanilla setup on first down. I think watching that first half, I think every first down they ran the ball.
Right.
Like, you had that exactly down on paper. What were some of the giveaways that you saw in that?
It was just hours on film. I mean, just the film that we had on them, I knew that they wanted to try to get in front of the sticks in first down. If they didn't get in front of the sticks, they would go to a kind of a pass heavy offense on second and third down. Fourth down was kind of a grab bag depending on down and distance. But it was just what their tendencies were and what they did.
Let's talk a little bit about last week. You guys shut them out for the entire first half, better part of the third quarter. What were some things that allowed that to happen?
Great play up front, stopping the run. I mean, it all starts on first down. If you put a team in an uncomfortable position on first down, then after that you can kind of get creative with what you do. If you know what they do when they're kind of feeling that pressure, it allows you to kind of attack. And that was the mindset that we had last week. We were going to be really tough on first down, and then after that we're going to kind of bring pressure from all over the place and mix the coverages in behind so that they didn't have a set idea of what we were going to do, and it worked pretty well.
When you watch film, do you key in on certain guys that you know are going to be impact players, or do you watch the entire team as a whole?
I always keep in the back of my mind who their guys are. I mean, if you look at Wax stats, you understand who Hayes goes to. I mean, it's Law Kid, and then it's whoever the number 13 kid is. I mean, they've got 800 yards of offense, and those kids have 600 of it. So, I mean, the ball's going to those guys. How are they getting it to them is what I'm more concerned with. Obviously, they're going to move their receiver around to where they think he can be advantageous versus our coverages. The Baugh kid, they're going to try to give him a hole and let him expose it. I mean, he's hard to get down. We're going to have to tackle with numbers when we're playing a guy like that, and we need to, I mean, have as many heads on the ball as we can.
Someone's ready for this week already.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask this then. With how they're going to create holes in their offensive line, what kind of stunts have you seen from them? How are you going to be able to counter that?
They like the power scheme. They like the GT running and pulling the guard in the tackle. They like to bring the H-back or tight end guy in. He's a big offensive lineman-looking kid, and they like to pull him across the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage, and try to kick out your ends or kick out your overhang safeties, guys like that, and then create a hole with down blocks. And they do a really good job of it. I mean, they put up a bunch of points in the first couple games. Had some trouble with Manhattan after the Baugh kid went out. Manhattan, really good defense, has been historically a good defense, and they attacked and obviously get some ideas from those guys too.
You obviously got a lot of great knowledge on football concepts. Where did you start really getting into football?
I mean, like I said, playing in Junction City under Coach Zimmerman. I was a linebacker for him for about 3 years at the varsity level, and then moved on from there to Emporia State. And then, I mean, I kind of really dug into it once I took this job with Coach Hill.
Can you talk about the football culture here in Kansas?
I mean, I think football's king. I mean, it's just Friday. There's nothing like Friday nights. I mean, I've coached baseball, I've coached basketball, I've coached football, so I've coached every season, and there's just nothing quite like it. I mean, coming out with the whole community there. If you've ever, once you get a chance to see the Hatchet game, you'll understand what I'm saying. When there's just standing room only, there's fans from both communities just going nuts, and you're out in the middle of it and giving kids a chance to shine.
Man, you are speaking my language right now. As a Floridian, like, I love high school football. Yeah. So being able to come here, and I've been so impressed. But not only how you guys play, but the atmosphere that you guys create. Like, it's just awesome to see. So I want to go back to the game against West. Second half starts. Team muffs a punt. You guys are pinned way back in your own territory. It's the second time this happened this year. First half in week one, gave a touchdown for 20 yards. Not much you could do. This week, you turn around, you hold them short. Did you acknowledge that? Did you tell the team that? Like, hey, look at how far we've come.
I mean, it's always bow up is kind of our mantra this year's attack. I mean, it doesn't matter what situation we're in, we're going to go after you. I mean, you can, and sometimes the kids, like throughout a season, you'll hear say offense should have done this or defense should have done this. It doesn't matter. It's our team. We get out there, we're going to do our job the best we can. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're on their five or if they're on our five. We're going to go out there and we're going to try and stop you. And that's the mindset that these guys have. And you'll learn from these guys when you get to talk to David and Dio that's how we go out and we approach it.
Technically, you guys outscored them in the second half because they had the touchdown and you stopped the two. You guys got the pick six and the PAT. How impressive is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about takeaways. It's all about putting points on the board, either by turnover points, giving it back to the offense, or we put it in ourselves. Last year, we had the chance to do it, I don't know, six or seven times. It had to be close to school record with the defensive touchdowns last year, and I've kind of emphasized that this year. We're always saying, get the ball out, get the ball out, get the ball out. Let's give our guys a chance.
Taking you through what you saw on Evan's pick six, either in the moment or now that you've watched it back.
I'm not even sure he was in the right coverage. he was in the right spot at the right time. We got a nice tip that bounced our way. He made a tremendous catch, very athletic play. Got to the sideline just like he's taught and went straight up the sideline. And obviously we were going nuts. It was a pretty exciting moment. It was a great moment for him because he kind of got his rear end chewed a little bit for some of the things he'd done earlier in the series. Previously, but it's something that he needed, and he needed some confidence, and it came through for us.
I want to talk about some of the individuals that stood out for you in a moment, but the first thing I want to touch on is the linebacker unit. Yeah. So you guys lost two key starters last year. You plug in Carson Krause, who, if I have it right, not played varsity before this season, and Colton Blankenhorn, who's the youngest starter in the unit. I feel like those two have been your best players on defense. I mean, there's been a lot of great standouts, but those two have been really good.
Carson is a diamond in the rough. He was in weight training with me and Coach Hill last year, and he said, what do you think about me coming back out for football? His last time out for football is freshman year. And I said, I think you should. And he's a great kid, one of the kindest human beings you'll ever meet, is devoted to his family, loves. He's just the kind of kid you want in your program. And I said, you're probably going to be a special teams guy. And through the summer, we found out he's our starter. I mean, he's undersized. You look out there, and you're like, we're going to run right at that guy, and then he gives you everything he's got. I mean, we were making fun of him last week because he jumped on that big, huge running back from North's back and looked like he was getting carried down the sideline, but he makes tackles. He does exactly what we teach him to do, and he does it well. Colton, raw talent. I mean, he's got the size. He's got the speed. His brain hasn't caught up yet with kind of the pace of play because he's only played JV freshman level football, and I throw a lot at these guys, and he's getting there. He's gonna be a special kid, that's for sure.
Now with Carson, the one thing I've noticed is he really blitzes the passer well.
Yeah.
How do you like to scheme him up in those linebacker blitzes?
Well, sometimes it's not a scheme. Sometimes he just goes and he does it on his own. But it's just understanding what their pass protection is, what they like to do, how they utilize the back, and just letting him kind of feel for it. I mean, if they're going to put three guys on the other side, three receivers on the other side, we're going to take advantage of the weak side and we're going to come after you. So.
I guess one thing that I'll ask about now is when you're getting these guys to watch film, obviously you mentioned, you know, you're getting them for an hour and a half after school. They're probably tired, you know, getting up as early as they do and sitting through classes. How do you like to make your film session when you go over? Like, is it entertaining? Like, describe what goes through with it.
So I've changed the method this year. It's kind of in the past, it's been me up there kind of just pointing things out. And I've kind of taken a different approach. I watch the film. They get a playlist of the film. So it's 10 or 15 plays that I want them to watch and understand. But during the time they have with me, we'll go over all of the formations that we think we're going to see. We'll go over how we're going to cover it. We're going to go over where they align, things like that. And then every week I go through and I make gifts of the guys from the game before. So like Carson Krause he looked like he was mutton busting on that running back from North, that big old kid. And he jumped on his back and we made a gif of that, made a gif of David, basically pancaking a D line or an offensive lineman, and then getting up and making a tackle. We do a player of the game thing. I make a gift for those guys that they can have, and I send out this presentation so they have access to all that stuff. So it's kind of lighthearted. It gets them interactive. It keeps them off their phone for the most part. You know what I mean? Just trying to lock them into what we're talking about.
Well, that's huge in this era. Yeah. You don't watch back my broadcast, do you?
What's that?
You don't watch back my broadcast, do you?
I did on Saturday.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm a little scared of what kind of gifts you can make of me when I mess up.
Yeah, I watched it back Saturday.
Okay, got it. Oh, all right, so if I get some kind of gift to me of me when I mess up a yard line, I'll know why.
Yeah.
Going into WAC play, obviously big game against Hayes, and we were talking about this a little bit before. They only scored 7 points last week. I know you've definitely gotten to their film already, but what stood out about this team in years past?
They're always tough. They've always got big linemen that are mean and know what they're doing, and they're well coached. Tony Crow does a great job with his staff there. They like to formation you. They utilize their good players in a very, very unique way by setting them up in situations that they have an advantage. And they just do what they're good at. I mean, they understand what they're good at, and they're going to keep doing it, and it doesn't really matter what we're going to do. That's what they're going to do.
What would you say is a big point of emphasis that you want to put on the guys in practice this week?
Stop the run. It's always stop the run. Stop the run and then deal with what happens afterwards.
So as someone who's played in Kansas for a while, I've heard this from somebody else. I feel like the teams that are best against the run are normally the best teams. Is that always true?
You have to be. I mean, if you let guys run on you in Kansas, then you're not going to be very good. That's for sure. Unless you're putting up tons and tons of points, then and it's tough nose football. It's one at the line of scrimmage. Backers and defensive linemen have to be able to be fresh, have to be able to go the entire game, or at least have some subs that can go in there and be salvageable. And that's kind of what we've prided ourselves on since I've taken over as defensive coordinator.
Last couple of things I want to say. We're already touched on the linebackers unit, but your defensive line has also been very impressive. Did you expect this year's front seven to be this good in the first three games?
I thought this was going to be the strong point of our defense, and so far they're our backbone. We've got guys, I mean, David and Dio, albeit they're still juniors, but they have a whole season of varsity experience under their belt. The most coachable kid you'll ever meet in your life, if I tell them to do something, if they make a mistake and I tell them to correct it, it doesn't happen again. We can fill in with Sebastian Lopez up there, who's just a mountain of an individual. He's hard to move. He's a difference maker. Tony Jimenez, which is a kid who has gotten tremendously stronger over the last year, and he's playing great football. And then, I mean, Carson Krause, you had that. We put how much we put him up on the line and things like that. We just have a group right now that knows what they're doing, and I can do a lot of different things with them.
One other thing that I want to ask about Dio and David, obviously they're both on the wrestling team. You got a couple guys on this defense that are also on the wrestling team. Do wrestlers make good football players, or just happen to be these guys are freak athletes?
The best football players are wrestlers, and the best wrestlers are football players. It's okay. Something that I've kind of thought for since I've been in high school sports.
Where does that stand out?
I mean, if you go all the way back to what the guys I was talking about before, Jesse Nunez, our leading rusher, our all-time leading rusher, he was a wrestler, he was our quarterback. Zeke Herrera, probably one of the greatest defensive players we've ever had. Wrestler, state champion. Those two guys are state champions. Refugio Charez, one of our probably greatest O-linemen of all time, state champion wrestler. I mean, it just works. You understand your body, you understand how to leverage people, and that's what football is. I mean, that's how it works.
Someone who has a great understanding of football in Kansas, but also a great understanding of the film they watch. That is assistant coach Justin Reich, who runs the defense here in his 11th season with the Buffaloes. Thank you so much, coach, for coming
on tonight. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break here from Old Chicago. We're still talking Buffs football when we come back. We got plenty more guests to come on as the Buffaloes take on Hayes this week. That's all coming up here live at Old Chicago on the Buff Talk Coaches Show.